Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the Tea with Tina podcast. We are on episode 200. Yes, can you believe that? For this podcast, I started it back in 2020, June 2020, actually, kind of in the early phases of the vid or the pandemic, the panny, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I was at home. I moved across the state of Pennsylvania from Western PA to Eastern PA. I was feeling kind of lonely, even though I am naturally introverted. And I felt like a podcast was a great outlet for me. And it became somewhat of a virtual diary. But I believe the Tea with Tina podcast has evolved over time. And I would like to reflect on that experience so far and where I plan to take this podcast and some of the lessons that I've learned over recording 200 episodes. All right, guys. So without further ado, let's dive in. Welcome to the Tea with Tina, your favorite podcast where we talk all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and maybe a little bit of tea gets spilled. We chat all about this in a super casual environment, so grab your beverage of choice, sit back, relax, and enjoy. All right, everyone, so 200 episodes. That's a lot. I will say, I believe at first I was only releasing one episode a week, so at max I could have had like 52 episodes a year. Then I moved to twice a week. Monday and Wednesday. And it was funny because, like I said before, the types of episodes I was producing, I was definitely doing, you know, health and fitness related, but I was also playing around with pop culture, fun things that, like, I enjoyed, I wanted to share. Like, I did a top 10, like, scariest movies for a Halloween themed episode. If there's, like, the Free Britney movement, kind of funny looking back at it now, like, where we're at. But the hashtag Free Britney movement, I did an episode on that. I did Gypsy Rose. So I was doing, like, some true crime kind of stuff. I was just playing around and doing whatever was fun at the time. And I think, you know, podcasts do evolve like people's lives, and that's what I love about them. I love that they're so casual, but also so powerful. Like, I can just hit record on my phone. I literally use voice memos. I'll talk about podcast setup in a little bit as well, but I literally use voice memos on my phone and I just record. And right now I'm in my robe. I just woke up not too long ago. I have my heating pad on my back because it's, you know, Mother Nature paid me a visit. But, you know, I'm not all glitz and glammed up and trying to, you know, put on this crazy production, right? And that's what I love about podcasts. And even me as a listener, I get so much value from listening to podcasts. Usually you hear me like about the habit stacking with podcasts. If you're not already doing this, freaking do this. Every time I'm walking, cleaning, doing dishes, doing something mindless, I literally put on a podcast. And I absolutely love it. I never watch podcasts on video because I know some people do, you know, video record them. I just listen and I absorb so much information. It motivates me. It puts me in the right headspace simply from listening to people talk. And there's these people that I admire and look up to. And, you know, you see them on Instagram, you see them on Facebook, whatever. You get like a 3-second snapshot into their life. Even YouTube videos, they're produced, you know. Podcasts give you that deeper, intimate connection with somebody. And it's almost like if you've never even met me in person and you're listening, if you've listened to a couple episodes, you may feel that we know each other and we have a connection because I'm talking to you. I'm talking with you. We're holding a conversation. And so podcasts are so intimate in that way. And it's a chance to know somebody and dive deeper into certain topics and hear how they chat. And it's very casual. And like I said, I just feel like that's so powerful and I absolutely love it. I feel like podcasting is the new blogging. I've been working on repurposing my podcast episodes over onto my website, tinawildandfitness.com. So I'll like link the audio of the podcast, but I'll also have kind of like a blog post about the podcast episodes. So depending on how you like to learn, if you like to listen, if you like to read, you know, all the options are there for you. So we have that. I don't know how I sidetracked into that, but we were talking about the different podcast episode types, right? I was on once a week, then twice a week. It was kind of more like a mishmash of health and fitness and personal hobby type stuff, current events. And I was kind of listening to other podcasters, and I would take things that I liked from their style and try to add it to mine, because I was in a period of discovery. And to be honest with you, I still feel like I'm in a period of discovery. 200 episodes in the grand scheme of things is not a lot. I actually know a lot of podcasters who are at 1,000 plus. Like, look at Joe Rogan. There are other podcasters as well. And it's just like, you have to put in the reps. And that is why moving forward, I'm definitely going to have a base of at least 2 podcast episodes a week. But my focus has shifted. I am going to do 2 plus a week, up to 5 episodes a week. And I would say that their length is going to be anywhere from 10 to 45 minutes, depending on the topic and what we're chatting about. I will say I'm personally not a fan of really formal, sciencey, kind of boring type podcasts where it's like, hey, like it's almost like a lecture. Like, that's not my vibe. I like tactical, but also like makes you think, having a conversation with your friend type podcasts, but I do want them to be impactful. So they're going to be centered around fitness and nutrition. But it's almost like getting a pep talk from me too. So there is going to be like a mindset, emotional component to it. And I don't really want to plan. Like, I'll plan a little bit as far as my main topics, so I know what I'm making as far as Monday and Wednesday. But the impromptu ones, like I said, you're going to see those from me as things come up. Maybe I'm dealing with a certain client situation and I thought it would be helpful to share with you guys, or maybe I'm struggling with something, or I see a topic and I think it'd be really good for you guys. That's when you're going to get those more impromptu episodes. And I find that those are absolutely the best ones. When I pre-plan, it never comes out the right way as when it's something relatable. And they always say the best way to learn is to teach. And if I learn something immediately, or I'm experiencing something, I immediately teach it to you guys, and it allows you to learn and it allows me to learn. So that's kind of where I'm going moving forward, is the whole, like I said, more casual, but also informative, less pressure to like pre-plan and have this script and sit down and have my, you know, phone set up and make it all like produced. Like, I'm not, no. We're doing it pure, raw and real, messy action, Tina style. And I love it. And I think it's going to be great. And I think the podcast listeners also love that style. Okay, so now I'm just going to kind of talk about, I did make some bullet points of what I wanted to talk about as far as lessons learned from 200 podcast episodes. So I'm going to start with what I was just saying before, messy action. I preach this. This is a foundational concept within my business and what I teach clients. Messy action. What does messy action mean? Messy action means showing up imperfectly and doing things even when things feel messy. It feels like, oh my God, I'm not where I want to be. This is uncomfortable, but you do it anyways, right? That's what I consider to be messy action, because I am somebody who's a recovering perfectionist. I would be in that freeze mode. If it was not absolutely perfect, I would choose not to pursue it. But I've learned so much by stepping out of my comfort zone and doing the thing, even when I'm tired, even when I'm not 100% ready, even when I feel like I suck at it. And that's messy action. And I've done it in all areas of my life. And you truly grow as an individual. And I truly believe that you can't really accomplish anything without messy action. Even a great example of this is, I'm always telling you guys that I'm listening to and reading about like celebrity autobiographies. I also love learning about how things were made, particularly the really famous things. If you listen in on documentaries, what comes to mind is more so like movies and TV shows about how things are made. It's crazy what was done by accident or on the spot and ended up being amazing, right? And that's more for the reason for messy action to exist and me to pursue messy action, because sometimes the best things come from messy action. For instance, the one that I just saw was Gene Wilder of the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the only one that I acknowledge, and the best Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Okay. Gene Wilder, the Gene Wilder, he was talking about in the scene where Wonka comes out from the factory. If you've ever watched the movie, this is a very iconic scene. He walks out from the factory. Everybody's kind of waiting there. He's been in hiding for years. And he announced this, you know, competition with the chocolate bars and the golden tickets. He walks out with his cane and he hobbles a little bit. And he does the roll, like the somersault forward. And he actually proposed that to the director, and he said, I will not film the movie unless I'm allowed to do that somersault. And the director's like, really? Like, you're not going to do the movie if you do? And he said, yeah. He's like, I have to do it. And so he did it. And it's like, that's been a very iconic scene. Like, the director did not want to do it. The director did not plan it. But Gene insisted on doing it. And he explained that it kind of made it feel like he was unpredictable, right? Because you thought, oh my God, this guy's hobbling. He's hurt. He's old. And then he does a front somersault. And you're like, oh man, this guy's maybe a little off his rocker. He's a little crazy. He's unpredictable. And it sets the tone for his emotions and mood throughout the movie, right? And there's countless happenings of this. Like, they film something, the shot that they think didn't work was the one that ended up being the best one, something that they didn't think would be a big deal actually took off. Like, there's so many examples of this, and this is the reason why you should not focus on being perfect, because a lot of the times perfect is the enemy of great, right? So I try to embody this in everything that I do. Health and fitness, just showing up in my life. And that has been a key factor in making this podcast go, because there's been many times through my thyroid journey, through my hormone journey, through the pandemic, I did not want to sit down and record. And the fact that I created an environment that's like more casual and not so high pressure has allowed me to continue to show up for you guys, even when times were tough, and just put in the work. Okay. So that is number one. Lesson number two, I learned that video is very time consuming and not the vibe right now. Okay. So there's obviously been a big push for video in the social media space. We have Reels, we have TikToks, we have YouTube videos. Static posts, I mean, they definitely still have their place, depending on what you're talking about, and they can be impactful, but it's video is king and queen right now. Okay. So naturally I wanted to play around with video. And I said, well, I can record myself doing my podcast. I mean, that's not really too much effort. I just set my phone up, go through my podcast. I don't really have to edit anything. Just, you know, trim it up a little bit and then post it on YouTube. Maybe somebody wants to watch it. So I did start recording it, and I just found that it became too time consuming. You have to prop your phone up and, you know, get the lighting set up. I have to drag out my ring light. You know, I got to set up my table and chair in front of my plant wall, make sure my notes are up. I found that when I'm in front of the camera, you know, you have to kind of hold yourself a certain way, because one, you have to get ready, make yourself look, you know, video ready. You know, make sure you're making eye contact. Sometimes I lose my train of thought and pause the recording, and it's a lot harder to do this with video for editing purposes. So I try to do it all in one shot. So, and then there's the uploading of the video. If it's a 40-minute video, it takes forever to upload to YouTube, and it's, you know, time consuming. And it was just a lot of unnecessariness that was kind of holding me back from producing good quality podcasts that were casual. I've noticed the video ones were more scripted, because I felt like I was being watched on that camera. And it's like, if I would lose my train of thought, and I couldn't be as natural as when I'm just speaking into my phone like I am with you guys right now. Also, I have two different microphones. I love my little lapel style microphone for like talking videos and workout videos, so people can hear me and it doesn't seem like far away. But I found that for podcasting, and I have a little like podcast mic, I just don't like the audio quality. Like, my phone has been top-notch audio quality for me. You know, I don't record under a blanket, you know, so it might not be completely soundproof or completely perfect, but the quality is good enough for me. So, video is not the vibe right now. I could see in the future, if maybe I had things a lot more streamlined, my business was grown, maybe I had a team and I could hire out to make things a little bit easier where I wouldn't have to do as much on that end. But, you know, we're not anywhere near that right now, and it's not super important. So that is where we're at with the video. Number three, I love impromptu chats. Yes. As I was kind of saying before, if I think of something, I do this with my notes as well, and I think you should too. If you think of something, an idea, a thought, a cool recipe, someone said something, you don't want to forget it, I open up my notes app and I write it down. Because if I tell the age-old story of telling myself that I will remember it later, just like I'm going to get gas tomorrow morning, like, it's a lie. It is a lie. You will forget it. As much as I want to remember that I will remember it, I don't. So I write things down, or if I have a thought that's really good and I'm in my element, I will record a podcast episode. It was kind of funny. I was mad because I was in the middle of a workout the other day, and I did have a pretty good kind of motivational chat and kind of pep talk for my clients, because just something came up and I was, you know, a potential client said something that really got me thinking and I wanted to record it. And I was like, well, I'll get it after my workout, but I wasn't in the same zone. So what I was going to say didn't just come out the same way. So I was like, dang it, I can't record it because I'm not in the same energy. So that was pretty much like thrown to the wind. So I found that a lot of stuff, if you catch it in the moment, it's a lot more powerful, which is why I'm kind of transitioning to this structure with the Tea with Tina podcast. Okay. Number four, I don't like overly planning. Yeah. I've been this way because in the social media space, they're like, plan out a month's worth of content, pre-script all of your captions, do all of this. And it's just like, that's never been me. I have never been one. Like, I am all about having like a general framework to fall back on, because you do need some sort of structure when it comes to workouts, meals, you know, life in general. Obviously you need a structure, but I've just found that to spend all that time planning, things just change so much. By the time I end up wanting to post something, by the time I end up wanting to eat something or do something, my mind changes. And everybody's different, so this may not be you, but even with my workouts, like, I do follow a workout program, but I actually will look at it the day of, and there may be a couple, like, mainly the accessory movements. If I'm not in the mood to do something or not feeling something, I'll swap it out with something, and that's fine. People can do that with my own workouts, like, that I program for them. Like, that's no issue. As long as you're hitting the same muscle group, you can do that. Same thing with meals. That's why I never meal prep for longer than 2 to 3 days at a time, because it'll feel like I want to eat something and then the day comes and I'm like, no. If I have one more day of this, I'm going to throw up. And the same thing comes with podcast episodes and social media posts, because I've done it. I've written out things ahead of time, and then when it comes time to post it, I'm like, this kind of sucks. Like, I don't want to post this. It doesn't hit the same. So I try to kind of plan just enough, but also keep up in real time so things feel fresh, and, you know, I keep that energy behind what I'm posting and things don't become generic, right? So that's a big thing. The next thing is, I had to niche down. As I mentioned in the beginning, I really was just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall. I was more so documenting my life, and I was like, you know, chatting about things, which a lot was going on, especially with like my Hashimoto's diagnosis. I was going on and off birth control. We were dealing with the pandemic, moving. I was telling some stories, like how me and my husband met, you know, different experiences, things going on in my business. And as much as I love sharing those, and I'll probably continue to share that if they're relevant, I wanted to keep it more so about health and fitness. You know, if you're someone new who doesn't know me, when you look at a podcast episode, I want you to be able to want to click on that. So the topics have become more meant for the listener and not necessarily somebody who's a close friend of mine, right? I want new people coming in, because like, some new person isn't going to be like, wow, I want to know how Tina met her husband. Like, maybe, but I don't know. You know, so that's why I want it to be helpful information for really anybody coming in. And of course, there'll be definitely personal things sprinkled throughout. But niching down, you know, getting a little bit more particular has been a big one. And then the last one I have written down here is, frequency and consistency is key. And this does tie in with the messy action, but with a podcast especially, you can't be inconsistent with it. And I do take pride in being pretty consistent for the most part. I do batch record. So I will say I do batch record, which is funny because we were just talking about like recording in the moment. But for some reason, like, batch recording for podcasts, I'd say about two... usually about 2 weeks at a time, maybe a little bit more. That feels okay to me. It doesn't feel like, oh, I'm like planning so far out. I think it's because I'm recording it in real time and I can get my thoughts out maybe. I don't know. But I do love to batch record, so I keep consistent, especially if like I have a trip coming up or whatever. It's pretty easy for me to schedule things out ahead of time and it feels authentic to me. But showing up consistently, because people look forward to those episodes. I know I look forward to episodes, and you kind of like forget, or you're like, where'd that person go if you don't see them for a week or two? Because you're like, man, I was looking forward to their episode. And there is somebody that I follow right now that posts 5 days a week with their podcast episodes, and they have a range anywhere from 10 minutes to like 50 minutes or an hour, and I binge them. They have over 1,000 podcast episodes and I freaking binge them. And if I enjoy that, I definitely want to bring that to you guys. So that's kind of the vibe that I'm going for. I want you to look forward to my podcast and want to binge it like every single day. So we're gonna aim for around 5 episodes a week. Hopefully we can work up to that. I am batch recording some today, and that should be really exciting. I'm kind of excited about that because there are some people that I do love, and there's one girl that I really love, and she does really authentic, chill podcast episodes, but they're very like deep and you learn a lot, and she'll do them for a little bit and then I won't see her for like 3 months, and I'm like, what the heck? And it sucks, because you like, when she does put out stuff, it's really, really good and you just want it all the time, and it sucks. So I don't want you to feel that way. Okay. But yeah, so I think that would wrap up the lessons that I've learned over 200 podcast episodes. I'll pop back in maybe around 300, 400, 500 episodes, right? I'll probably reach those milestones a little quicker now that I'm updating the frequency of my podcasts. So with that being said, though, thank you for being here. I wonder if you've been here since the beginning. Shoot me a message if you've been here since episode one, day one. I would love to know. You can message me over on Instagram at Tina Wild Fit. If you are not already a follower of the podcast, wherever you're listening, be sure to follow so you never miss an episode again. And yes, I just had a brain fart. My brain just like stopped working for a second. But I was just gonna say, have a great rest of your week, and we will chat soon, guys. Bye for now.